I entered the seminary when I was 47. And when I was ordained, my older brothers and my sister and my younger brothers were all in attendance. And after ordination, my mom said to my older brothers, "Now that he's ordained, you have to be more respectful." My older brothers looked at me, looked at each other, and looked at mom and said, "Yeah, not so much." There was a time in formation as a Dominican where you are asked if you want to change your name, if you want to take a religious name. And I actually thought about it for a long time and gave me some pause to think about, well, what name would I choose? And then I got to thinking about it. My brothers and my sister and at that time my mom and my dad and my all of the friends that I had, all 12 of them, knew me by Rich or Richard. And I thought to myself, self, if you change your name to something else, they're going to keep calling you Rich, Richard, or Hey You. It won't make a whole lot of difference if I change my religious name to the people who I've grown up with, who became my family, who are my family, and who are responsible, good or bad, for making me who I am. And I think one of the things that's really important today for us to remember is that Christ, the King of the universe, is not an image that we spend a whole lot of time with in our faith path. We spend 33, 34, sometimes 35 Sundays in ordinary time where we are listening to Jesus, the rabbi who says, "I have no home," the rabbi who heals the sick, raises the dead, feeds the hungry, but walks the roads dusty and tired and footsore. This Jesus that's approachable by everyone, by lepers and by the blind and by the hungry and by the dying, he's so approachable that nobody is stopped by the taboos of the time. He's so open and so willing to accept. And that's the Jesus that we've been getting used to this whole year, the one that talks and walks and heals and teaches and says again and again and again, "I've brought you a new covenant. Love God, love neighbor, love self. The 613 laws that you're called to believe in and follow as a good Jew are important. But I will tell you that if you follow love God, neighbor, and self, those 613 laws will take care of themselves." This is the man that we're sort of used to seeing and interacting with. But today, we are confronted with the King of the universe. Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. You know, we believe in a triune God. And we really do believe in this triune God. But there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they kind of each have sort of their own sort of visual aspects, and we kind of think about, yeah, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God a triune God. But I'm just praying to God the Son right now. So we're always surprised when God the Father and God the Holy Spirit shows up with him. It's God. It's God, the triune God. When God the Father, who we kind of think sort of created things, was in the midst of creation, God the Son was there with him, as was the Spirit. The way to the crown that we see up here is through the throne of the cross. And that's the power that Jesus Christ always has in our lives. The story here that we have in this year, because each year the gospel is different, this year on the cross, dying for our sins, one man jeering at him, demanding that he be saved. The second one taking him to task, saying, "What are you asking? We are at least justly condemned." Jesus is dying. He has time for one more miracle. He saves one more soul. "You will be with me this day in paradise." What a promise. What a powerful statement from the cross Jesus Christ dying in his humanity, standing in his kingship, gets to decide, you'll be with me today. You don't have to pass go. You don't have to collect $200. You don't have to go anywhere else. As I am in heaven, so will you be. It's the promise he makes to us as well in our lives. If we follow this humble king in the life that he calls us to, we too will join him in paradise. We too will understand more fully the power of the kingship of Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong challenge to do that. It's very hard for me to wrap my head around this king of the universe. He had at his command legions of angels. If you go back to the temptation by Satan, he said, you know, if you jump off the temple here, the angels will come and keep you because you won't dash your foot against a stone. Legions of angels at his command, and at Gethsemane, in the garden, he said, don't come. Not yet. Because my belief is that at the moment of resurrection, all those angels that have been waiting around going, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Showed up. And the moment of resurrection, surrounded by 10,000 sons, and legions and legions and legions of angels. Here I am, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father, the King of the universe, and this is what I look like. And you too can join me. There's a reason that this feast comes at the end of the liturgical year. We are moving into Advent, the time where we prepare again for the coming of this little infant, helpless, crying, cold. We're preparing for that. Why? It's on the wall, folks. The crown of thorns and the king's crown of the universe. This is where it starts. The next Sunday of Advent, when we begin to prepare ourselves, our hearts, our minds, and our souls for the coming of this infant. And then we walk again the journey that he takes us on. Feed the hungry. Take care of the dying. Nurture the sick. Don't be afraid. How many times do we hear that? Don't be afraid to the disciples. How many times does he say to Peter, oh, Peter? He says that a lot, actually. But he never leaves him. It's the journey that we're on through our lives. Scripture brings us along. Our ministries bring us along. Our community brings us along on that journey as we are forming ourselves for that moment when we too stand before Jesus Christ, and he says, you will be with me this day in paradise.